The Psychiatrist. The midday meal was great, but after each had licked his plate, or spoon, or bill, and had together drained two kegs of brew on tap, they all were dying for a nap, and so they voted to awake up again at 4, at which time Dr. Harry Fink, the shrink, would take the floor. The hours passed. When all had ceased to snore, up stood the wheeze. "I couldn't help but note," said he, in accents noticeably Viennese, "that when it comes to matters of religion, there often seems some competition or division between the Christians and the Jews. I think this is because Christ is perceived to be the Son of God. Now, happy as a father-son relationship can be, there may occur, no matter if the birth is virgin, eine kleine jealousy, what Freud has called ein Komplex Oedipal. I cannot think that Jesus took it well to be forsaken on a cross. Was this his father's way of showing who was boss? If so, it didn't work. The story goes that from his tomb the Son arose and flew to heaven's highest throne to head a new religion of his own. For this he stole his father's title, God. And then, as often is the case, the Son did not only replace but did outpace his pa, attracting possibly by now 2 billion true believers. And of this number, quite a few did persecute the Jew, crusaded against Muslims, too, and colonized the Hindu. When Fink was through, they all looked blank. Not one had ever heard a summing up so frank. Was this psychiatrist some sort of crank? The only one to speak was Lash. Said he, "I never knew my reptile dad. A foster home is all I had. But if I ever find the man who had the gall to kidnap me when I was small, I'll fight him and defeat him. And when he's drowned, I'll eat him." On hearing this, the shrink did muse. "I never had a son myself, but once, in Yo, I found a little croc upon the ground, and took it home and raised it like a son. But when the crocodile grew large enough to challenge me with tooth and guile, I thought on Oedipus a while, and when there came a heavy rain, I pushed it down a sewer drain." The doctor sighed. Said he, "I hope you see that even a psychiatrist like me can be a victim of psychology." As Dr. Fink made his admission, a look of recognition filled the young croc's eyes. Alas, as he was starting to arise and take a step, Lash caught his velcroed tail and chin upon the carpeting and, to his terrible chagrin, got stuck fast in the middle of the floor. Then, seeing his beloved Coca smile, the awkward crocodile just shut his eyes, scrunched down, and moved no more. "So why," Sam asked the shrink, "are you en route to Crow? Are you researching something that the rest of us should know?" "I have a theory," answered Fink. "I think, from evidence I have amassed, the Crotian ego may have crashed as long as 30 centuries ago, though how or why I do not know. But it is clar, from what we have observed so far, concerning lack of team sports, smokestack factories, and such, the Crotians are completely out of touch with any sort of competition. What I would like to learn is what a creature thinks all day, without ambition or the stresses and distractions of stock markets, politics and war, of sports, illicit sex, and every other need and yen that aggravate our 80 years. I don't know why, but I suspect that you, my friends, and I would simply die without our daily dose of television, shows that terrify us, make us laugh or cry, or make us seethe with feelings of deep loathing and derision. I know that when I watch the nightly news and see you, dear McDonald Duck, pontificate, insinuate, express your shallow views, I feel the pressure of my blood rise up until I almost lose my mind. And yet I find and do admit I am so hooked that every day I turn the knob to CBA and risk an apoplectic fit." McDonald Duck was pleased by what he'd heard. "I do my best," he modestly averred, "to make my listeners return for more. They do not pay a duck $12 million a year to be a bore. And if you want to know, my mission is to pave the way for CBA to that huge market up on Crow."